Exodus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." I'd like to say good morning. This is Pastor Win Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church welcoming you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I'd like to take a moment to invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting every Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we're just getting ready to finish up the book of Colossians, and we have Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Sunday school for all ages, 11 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, and then every second and fourth Sunday night at 6 p.m., we have our Sunday evening service, and we usually have a special service, a missionary, young preacher. Last Sunday night, I preached a message on what the Bible has to say about your health, and that's a little bit different, but it's in the Word of God, and the Bible has a great deal to say about health and the principles in the Bible that we need to live healthy lives. And so we took some time, and I think everybody enjoyed that, but we'd love for you to come out and be with us. These messages are available on our church website. It's mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. And so we wanted to let you know about these ministries. We're located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That's just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, and many people know where that is. I'd like to say good morning to Noah today. How are you, Noah?
I'm doing good.
Good.
It's good to be here this morning. We want to say how much we appreciate all our listeners out there, those who are listening in on AM 1450 WATA right here in Boone, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and I want to take just a moment this morning before we get started and let you know about the VBC Bible Institute. This is a ministry that we are involved in, and it is an opportunity to study the Bible. And you can actually, it's a 3-year program. You can obtain your bachelor's degree in biblical studies, and Mount Lebanon sponsors a satellite school. And what we do, this begins on January the 19th, Thursday night, and every Thursday night for 16 weeks, and this is beginning January the 19th. That's on a Thursday night, and they'll meet every Thursday night at 6:30, and the classes this spring are New Testament Survey. Brother Tull Oaks is the teacher in that class. And then the book of Revelation is going to be taught, Brother Kenneth Forbes, and I will be teaching missions and evangelism. And if you are interested, you can go to vbcministries.org. That's vbcministries.org. Or you can call the church office, 828-963-4596. And that's 828-963-4596. That's Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And the great thing about VBC Bible Institute is that you can start in any semester. You don't have to start at the beginning because it's the same classes every 3 years. And so anywhere, any semester that you can jump in on and start in the course of 3 years, you'll be done. And it's the same. So you can start anywhere. It's designed to be flexible. We have Sunday school teachers. We have bivocational preachers, young preachers. We have pastors that are involved in the school. You can go to a satellite school. You can take it over the internet. You can take it correspondence. We have men. We have women that are attending the school. We have young students. Noah, actually, last semester was your first semester. What'd you think, Noah?
It was really good.
Really good?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you learn?
You learn a lot there.
Mm-hmm. More than just average going to church or?
Yeah, you the classes that they have on their specific subjects, you learn a lot about that stuff.
Can you give an example, something you learned that you wouldn't hear on Sunday morning?
We learned about more about other religions as well. In your class last year, the last semester, the Kingdom of the Cults.
Right.
That was one thing, and there was a bunch of stuff in there I had never heard of before.
Right. What about the intertestament period and the time?
The 400 silent years.
No. What's that?
That's the period in between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I remember we had, that's not my class I was teaching, but we had some discussions. And it is an important period you don't hear a whole lot about. So there's some things you'll learn about that'll be beneficial in your Bible study. And so Noah, he's going to Victory Bible Institute. It's biblical. It's affordable. It's they have a good time over at Mount Lebanon. So I wanted to let you know about that. If you know a young preacher, a missionary, Sunday school teacher, or just anybody that would like to study the Bible and know more about it, please get in contact with us. Now, I want to go on in the broadcast today. This is the second broadcast of 2012, and here we are starting in a new year, and it seems like springtime outside. This has been a very unusual winter. And we come in today to do the radio broadcast, and it's a nice warm day. You don't even have to have a jacket on, and it just feels like springtime. But it's just second broadcast of 2012, and last week I talked about recent legislation that was passed over the new year. I believe it was actually signed into law on December the 31st. And the legislation that was passed into law is called the National Defense Authorization Act. And I took a whole radio broadcast and talked about that because it's something that I believe that we need to be concerned about. It concerns me because of what it does to the Bill of Rights and our freedoms and our privileges that we have as American citizens. I was reading an article yesterday concerning this by a Mr. Jim Babka. He is with an organization called Downsize DC. There's a website. I don't know the exact address, but it's the 10th Amendment Center, and the 10th Amendment has to do with whatever's not designated in the Constitution for the government to do. Then all the rest of it is left to the states. And so that's what they are promoting there, is that the states will be responsible for themselves. But he says in that article this about the National Defense Authorization Act. He said Congress just passed and the president just signed a bill that gives legal authority to the president to kidnap and perpetually imprisoned persons, including American citizens, without the benefit of due process. Due process is very important to our freedoms as American citizens. Due process means that there's several things in the Bill of Rights that would relate to this, but a trial by a jury of our peers, a protection against unseasonable search and seizure, and that we would be safe in our effects and our property. And he goes on in that article and he explains how an innocent American could be labeled as a terrorist. And here's the dangerous thing about it. It's anybody that the government or the president says is a terrorist threat. Well, whether it's true or not, they can be arrested, kidnapped by the government, taken away without a charge, detained indefinitely without a trial by a jury of our peers. And this is something that I think that more people need to be aware of and interested in, and just downright searching for a good word to use right there, upset about it. Because it attacks the Bill of Rights and our freedoms. It's very important because the freedoms that we have as Americans sets us apart from China. We're different from China. You know, in China, they have political prisoners. They can go out and arrest somebody and haul them away and never hear of them again. Same thing in Russia, Egypt, the uprising in Egypt last year, last spring. One of the complaints that the people had there was that Mubarak, for years and years and years, under the guise of national security, you know, he could just go out and get anybody, anybody that protested, anybody that dissented from his rule. They could go out, round them up, haul them off, and never hear of them again. Same thing in Iran. These things continually happen in other countries. And the irony of it is that our government condemns them, but now our government has passed a law to be able to do the same thing. And this, our freedoms that we have as Americans, that we find in the Bill of Rights, the freedom of religion, the right to keep and bear arms, and not just the First and the Second Amendment, but all the way through. It sets us apart from these other countries. It makes us different. It's very important that Christian people and patriotic people and people that are interested in liberty stand up for our Constitution. If we lose our Constitution, if we lose our Bill of Rights, we will be no different than these other countries. Now, if you... it's things like this that brought about the American Revolutionary War. And this is something that here on the Blessings of Liberty, we actually have started out, and I spend a lot of time talking about the foundation of our country, our biblical heritage, our revival heritage, our Christian heritage. These are things that are absolutely undeniable, that America was founded as a Christian nation, and a religion birthed a government. And that's what happened. That's the result of America and our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. All these things were birthed by a religion, not just any religion and not every religion, but the religion of Christianity birthed a government. That's something that you don't hear talked about, but if you studied about, if you studied out historically, you'll find that that's how America came about. A religion birthed a government. The Declaration of Independence refers explicitly to our Creator and our inalienable rights that God has given each and every person. But it's things like this that brought about the American Revolutionary War. These same questions about our liberty and about a tyrannical government. In 1765, Britain introduced the Stamp Act. Now, if you are a student of history, you'll already know that the Stamp Act that was before the American Revolutionary War, this really fanned the flames and caused the Declaration of Independence to be written, among other things. But the Stamp Act was brought about by Britain to, and it was the first legislation that affected all of the 13 colonies, lumped them all together, and instituted the Stamp Act. And what the Stamp Act was supposed to do, see, Britain had been in war, the French Indian War, and it had depleted their coffers. They had spent so much money on war that they were bankrupt. And they were involved in many, many wars in the world at the same time. You know, does that sort of sound familiar today? That's one of the problems that we have in America. I think we have a military presence in 130 different countries in the world, and we are so overextended we cannot support ourselves. Well, Britain, the Kingdom of Great Britain, they were in the same boat. They had war and war and war, and they were going bankrupt as a nation. They needed to refill their coffers as quickly as possible. So in the colonies, now this is one of the things that bothered the colonists, is that the Stamp Act was not applicable in the country of England, but only in the American colonies. And what the Stamp Act was, pardon me, any paper that was needed for the conduction of everyday business, whether that was a deed, you had to get a legal deed, you had to get a marriage license, playing cards, newspaper, pamphlets, I mean everything that had to do with documentation, paperwork of any kind required a stamp. Now, I remember learning about this in school, and I thought it was like a postage stamp. And, of course, we have postage stamps if you send a letter, but that's not what the Stamp Act was. It was that any piece of paper that you needed or had to buy or transfer to somebody else, it required a stamp, which was a fee. Now, there was a tax upon that, and the Stamp Act was very, very unpopular, and it was hotly contested. I mean, in one place in America, I believe it was Boston, it slips my mind, but they were so upset about it that there were mobs that went out and burnt down the houses of the men that allowed this to be instituted in their town, and it was hotly contested. Patrick Henry, one of his most famous speeches, and really what made him famous, was his opposition to the Stamp Act. But the consequences for not abiding by it made it even worse. And what they did at that time, the Stamp Act administrator, the judge that oversaw the putting into effect this Stamp Act, he was given powers like a dictator. The judge that was over that, he could call any person at any time to any place that he said, and he didn't even have, it didn't even have to be a good reason, and it was causing a lot of hardship upon the colonists that they would have to be called off to this place and that place to answer a charge, and it might be founded and it might not be. I found a letter from the residents of Cambridge, Massachusetts in October of 1765. And this is what they said, and it was a letter of opposition about the Stamp Act. It said the distributor of stamps will have a sovereignty over everything but the lives of the people, since it is in his power to summon everyone he pleases to Quebec, Montreal, or Newfoundland. And when the faithful subject arrives there, by whom is he to be tried? Not by his peers, which they put the birthright of every Englishman, but by the judge without a jury. And so you see, I went into all that to say this. What they were concerned about before the start of the American Revolutionary War was their rights being taken away, them being summoned by a judge to be tried and convicted and not have the right of trial by jury, which was the right of every English person. And here we are, over 200 years later in America, we have the same, basically the same things that started the American Revolutionary War. We have the same concerns. We have the same basic problems that they were upset about over 200 years ago. And that is the fact that the government can come along, accuse you, try you, convict you, put you away, and you wouldn't even have a trial by a jury of your peers. And so, if you study the grievances that are listed in the Declaration of Independence, what you'll find there is many of the same things that people are protesting about today and upset with today. And there's many things in the new year that concern me. I spent a lot of time this past week thinking about today's radio broadcast. I've been studying. I'm sure I'll bring some of these things in the broadcast ahead. I did several weeks before the new year in November and December, just talking about revival, how I believe that's really our only hope in America is a spiritual awakening. And that is what saved America the first time and actually birthed America, was the Great Awakening. But I'll tell you, the more you talk about that as a pastor, and I talk to a lot of people, I preach in a lot of different churches, and what I see more and more is a spiritual apathy, even among church people, just a sort of an attitude of, I got to go to Walmart. You know, what's the big, people just absolutely asleep concerning very, very important things like I'm talking about today. I'm sure there are those that are listening in and doesn't really mean anything whatsoever to a lot of people. There is a state of moral decline in America that is just about unparalleled. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were talking about over the past weekend, the number one movie in the box office over the weekend was this new movie that's come out called The Devil Inside. And that's number one. You know, that's what people are interested in and want to go and see. And I seen a commercial, and I tell you, that's enough for me. I don't want anything to do with that. But that's where we are in America, more concerned about the things of the devil than the things of God, just to be honest. There's an economic crisis looming in our nation. People are losing their jobs still. I know that you hear from the lamestream media and the government, you know, that we're recovering, but common sense and just looking around will tell you it's going to be a slow, long haul if we ever recover from the recession, depression, whatever you want to call it. There's people losing jobs. As a result of losing jobs, people are losing homes. People are put in a bad financial situation. It's an election year. That's always depressing to everybody. I've been studying about Israel, and I'm going to say some more things on a later radio broadcast about Israel. And so there's several things in this new year that concern me more than the end of the Mayan calendar. You know, there's a lot of talk about 12/21/12, and that's when the Mayan calendar ends, and it's supposed to be chaos and you know, world shaking weather events. Well, we've already had that in 2011 and in the years previous to that, but I'm more concerned about these other things. But I found a verse in Proverbs, and those of you that know me very well, you know I encourage everybody to read a proverb a day. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and if you read a chapter a day, there's usually one for every day of the month. And I found a proverb that really helped me. I wanted to share with you, and really I've just said all that I've said just to get to this proverb. I want to share with you. I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you today. But it says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 28, it says, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. You know, in spite of everything very serious that's going on in our society, and I've already mentioned many of those things, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of bad news on the radio and a lot of things that we ought to be concerned about. But you know, when I look in the Bible, that's where I find my inspiration. That's where I find my hope. In spite of everything that's going on in the world round about us, the Bible says the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. And I've found that the only way to have hope and gladness in this dark world is to have our hope and gladness in another world. And that's the world to come. And so when I look at the world, it's pretty depressing. It's pretty dark, and the outlook doesn't seem very bright. Certainly, if you're looking at Washington or Raleigh or, you know, the governments or the help of this world. But when I look to the Lord, that's where I find my hope. That's where I find my gladness. I picked up a devotional book a couple of weeks ago in a bookstore. Somebody had got me for Christmas a gift card, and I really enjoy books. And so at the bookstore, I picked up a devotional for this year. It's called Battlefields and Blessings, Stories of Faith and Courage from the Revolutionary War. Now, that's right down my alley, and I love stuff like that. And it's I'm way ahead of January the 10th. And I've just been reading through that book, and what a blessing I've got out of it. But there's a preacher before the American Revolutionary War, a pastor, Samuel Davies. He was contemporary with Patrick Henry, and I believe if you study it out, you'll find that he was very influential in the life of Patrick Henry, and he was a very well-known pastor, preacher, Samuel Davies. In 1756 in Hanover County, Virginia, he preached a message, and I want to share just a quote or two from that message and hope it'll be a blessing to you today. And just let you know, we're not living in a world that today that is really very different from 200, 250 years ago. And that at that time in 1756, there was commotion in the nation. There was rumblings. There was division. There was the possibility of war, the French and Indian War. And here's what Samuel Davies, he preached a sermon, and he said, "These commotions and perturbations have had one good effect upon me, and that is they have carried away my thoughts of late into a serene and peaceful region, and beyond," or he said, "a region beyond the reach of confusion and violence." He went on, he said, "I mean the kingdom of the Prince of Peace. And thither, my brethren, I would also transport your minds this day as the best refuge from this boisterous world and the most agreeable mansion for the lovers of peace and tranquility." And what he was talking about that helped him during this boisterous time, and we don't use that word, we might say sometimes I'm perturbed, but he used that word perturbations. And he said, "All this commotion and all this trouble has had one good effect upon me." And what he was saying in that message, he said, "It makes me think of heaven. It makes me think of the kingdom of the Prince of Peace." And he used that introduction to preach a message on heaven. You know, Jesus said in John 18 and verse 36, first part of that verse, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And I find, as I am concerned about what is going on in the world today, I'm concerned about our civil liberties. I'm concerned about the state of the church. I'm concerned about the young people. I'm concerned about a lot of things. And as I look at it, it doesn't look very encouraging sometimes. But my encouragement has to come that there's a better world than this. And that'll help you as you look out into this new year. I need to be reminded daily of what Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28 is teaching us. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. I have much hope in the Lord and in the world to come. And then I get comfort and help from the last part of verse number 28. It says, "But the expectation of the wicked shall perish." And you know, it may seem like that the wicked are getting or have the upper hand in this day and time. And it may look that way. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." You know, but there's going to be an end to these things that are going on in this world. There's going to be a better day, and that ought to be the day that we're looking forward to. I hope you have your hope and your trust in the right place. I want to leave you with John chapter 14 and verse number 6, where the Bible says that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's the way, and he's the only way today. And I hope you have your hope and your trust in him and in his kingdom. And if we put our hope and trust in the right place today, then all these things in the world, no matter how troublesome and bothersome they are to us, they're just a small thing in light of eternity. So I hope you got your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone. Noah's going to come on in just a few seconds, and he's going to give you the contact information. I would want to remind you of the Victory Bible Institute. If you're interested, get in contact with us. It's not too late to get started in this spring semester. I like that phrase, spring semester. Noah, give us the information there. Thanks for listening.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org.